Well, I can truly say amen to that song. I thank the Lord for that song. That was rich. And it also goes along with a thought tonight. The Lord has given me the last days, and it's something that that way. I know this is Thanksgiving week, and in fact, I am thankful for these. The burden of the Lord I have from the Lord tonight is speaking on the angels of God, the angels of the Lord. And truly, I am thankful for the angels of the Lord that have come my way in my lifetime. And no doubt we all can say that. Now, obviously, there's probably not too many of us in here that have seen a literal physical angel, perhaps, with little wings or halo or however some depict them as. Maybe someone in a white shiny robe that kind of glistens, or they kind of pass through the walls. And perhaps most of us haven't seen that. And there's some in this world that have claimed they have seen angels. And I'm not here to debate that. But the bottom line is, and the proof is in the Bible, we do know that God has used angels before as his messengers, as his ones to perhaps enforce his law or to assist his people. And throughout the little discourse here tonight, I do want to touch on a few instances in the Old and New Testament. Just some little highlights of some stories that we all have heard before, but just to remind us of how God's angels were ministering to God's people. But in specific, let's consider for a moment what an angel really is. An angel of God is basically, as I mentioned earlier, it's a personal messenger from God. And you could put it perhaps in a modern day term. I know my boys, I've had discussions with them before, speaking of the law enforcement personnel. And they'll ask questions like, they'll see a police car and they say, okay, who is that? Is that a city cop, or is that a sheriff's department, or is that a detective or a highway patrol? And they want to know who is who. And then they also want to know, well, who reports to who? You know, who's the most powerful? You know, is it the city cop or highway patrol? And but in talking about the sheriff's office, there is one in a county, there is one supreme county sheriff. But the county sheriff has many, they're called deputy sheriffs, that go out and enforce the laws of the county. And they're able to be in several places where the lead sheriff, the head sheriff, cannot be in multiple places at one time. But he has these deputies, these messengers, that enforce the law and order where he can't be. And they can bring messages to you, whether it's a fine or a ticket, or in some cases, they've done multiple things. Reporting, they'll come and investigate if there's been a robbery. We've actually had them at our house. We'd had a robbery several years back, and it was a sheriff's deputy that came out there representing the sheriff. Well, that's what the angels are. When they have come to God's people, they're representing God. They're a messenger from God. And just for going back in history a little bit, just in the Old Testament, a lot of times, and throughout the Bible, through these stories that I'm going to highlight here tonight, many times God's messengers, his angels, would come to God's people in a time of distress, in a time of great need, and they needed divine assistance and help, and they didn't know what to do. And God would send his angels to help and assist them. Of course, there are the times where God would send perhaps the angels of death, those that came with the fiery sword, and they would actually kill some of the children of Israel, those that displeased the Lord, and they were perhaps worshiping other gods and turned their back on the Lord, and God was displeased with that. He would send the death angel. But most of the time, it was for divine assistance and for help. And I want to touch on just a few here, just to give us a taste. You remember the story of Abraham in Genesis, the 24th chapter. I'll just read this verse. Verse 7, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me And that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. You see, Abraham had quite a journey. He was called out from his home, hometown, his home people, and to be a nomad and to wander around in the wilderness. And God had promised him something, that his seed would be multiplied, and Abraham didn't have a son. And eventually, God gave him, granted that son. But it said, he will send an angel before thee to guide and direct thee. And you look at the end of Abraham, and it was good. Abraham was faithful to the Lord, and in turn, God was faithful to him. You see, just like the song that they sang a little bit ago, God's depending on us, and we're depending on God. And Abraham was in that same situation. Abraham needed something special from the Lord, and God gave him that. Well, that was Abraham. What about Jacob? You remember the story of Jacob. The time he was running from his brother Esau and Jacob's ladder. And in that vision, that night vision, he was had a stone as his pillow. And in that night vision, the angels were ascending and descending from the throne. It's as if it was, he had this vision of it's God's divine help and assistance. And God was hearing Jacob's pleas and his cries for help and in desperation, didn't know what to do. And God gave him that vision of these angels. Well, and then later, of course, Jacob wrestled the angel. And the angel touched him. And Jacob was not the same. He, of course, turned to Israel. God changed his name, changed his person, his being. But through that, God was using an angel. And also the story of Moses. Remember the story of Moses? The burning bush. And it says there, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Again, God visiting Moses in a time of Moses didn't know what was going to happen the rest of his life. He had no idea what the next 40 years were going to hold. And he was out there in the wilderness and tending his father-in-law's sheep, and God paid him a visit. God had a job for him to do. But he sent an angel to deliver this message. Then, of course, you have Moses, fast forward here a little bit, when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." Again, the angel of the Lord watching over God's people. They were special to him. Then in Judges, you remember the story of Gideon. And it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak," which was an Ophrah, "that pertained to Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." You see, again, Gideon found himself in a predicament here. He was, in fact, hiding down there, threshing the wheat in fear of the Midianites, that they were going to come and take his weed and to pillage through his family and his goods and everything. But yet, he was a mighty man of valor, and God saw him, and God had a plan for him. God wanted to use Gideon, and God sent an angel, a messenger, to visit Gideon. Well, many more, the story of Elijah. Remember, God sent an angel when he ran from Jezebel, and an angel touched him and gave him some food, said, "Get up, eat." And then there's King Hezekiah. Remember that story? And it says in 2 Kings 19 and 34, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Thank the Lord. This was the angel of the Lord fighting for God's people. The Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer. You remember that story? Hezekiah spread out this letter from Sennacherib and says, "What do I do? I don't know. I'm at wit's end. What do I do here?" The Lord was touched with that, and he sent an angel to pay his enemies a visit. Thank the Lord. The Lord will do that for us too. Then you remember the story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. You remember this? Daniel 6. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Thank the Lord. God again had mercy on his faithful child. God was being faithful to him because why? Daniel was faithful to the Lord. And that's the common thread all throughout all these Old Testament stories. These are faithful men and women that are faithful to God's calling, his duty, and to the laws that were given them. And they were faithful all the way through. And in turn, God was faithful to them and would send messengers, angels, to minister unto them. Then, of course, the New Testament. You remember the story of Jesus? How did that begin? Well, you look in the Matthew and the book of Luke. And in one, an angel visits Joseph. And in the other, an angel visits Mary. And again, faithful men and women here to the Lord's cause. And they were, the Lord couldn't find any fault with them. And God was pleased with their lives. And God put a special blessing upon on them that they would be the father and mother of who else but Jesus, God's son. What an honor. Well, then of course, who was it that over the tomb that Jesus was buried in, and the angel rolled away the stone and sat on the stone? Again, the angel of the Lord as a messenger signifying God's power and God's conquering power over death and the grave and over sin. But who did he send? An angel to do this job, a messenger, a deputy, so to speak. Then, of course, the stories of the apostles. The different ones that were in prison, different stories. Some of them, multiple of the apostles were in prison. The angel came and delivered them out of prison and told them to go ahead and continue preaching in the synagogue there. And then the time when Peter was in prison and the angel came and woke him up and led him out through the gates and through the prison bars and all this. And he was free. Peter, he was thinking he was still in a dream, but no, it was real. The angel of the Lord had been sent. Why? Because Peter was faithful to the Lord. Well, again, these are all common threads, and I just did a quick, if you could say, there's many more stories in the Bible. I won't bore you with any more. But just to give us a taste of what it takes to have the angel of the Lord visit you. And I want to read some from the book of Psalms in the 91st chapter. I won't read the whole book here, but I want to focus on verses 9 through 16. And this will give us a taste of, as again I mentioned, there are some requirements for the angel of the Lord, God's messengers, his deputies, to come to your assistance. And I want to rephrase some of this too. Think about this for a moment. In the Old Testament, before the New Testament, before the new dispensation, before the Holy Spirit was sent, God had to use some form at some physical form, perhaps, to really get his messages across to his people and to God's his enemies, to the enemies of the children of Israel. And it was in a physical, literal sense. And think about this. They fought literal physical warfare with the sword, with the shield, and with the spears and with arrows. And for us to think of doing that now, it's kind of gross to really think that we would go out and do literal warfare with our enemies that way. We think we see an enemy in town and we just, you know, whip out our sword and we, just like some of David's mighty men, just take off their head right there. That was the type of things they did back in the Old Testament. But let me tell you something. It got people's attention, did it not? God meant what he said. God was serious about his laws, that there were consequences if you didn't obey his laws. But God was also serious about his promises. If you be faithful to me, just like he told Abraham, if you're faithful to me, I will multiply your seed as the sands of the sea. And just like with Daniel and Elijah and all those others, if you be faithful to me, I'll do something special for you. And so many times God would use literal ways of blessing God's people and inspiring and leading God's people. And it was through none other than the angels of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that God was able to do that? But it didn't just stop in the Old Testament. God continued to use them in the New Testament. And in fact, I still believe God uses His angels today. And I'll share a little bit of that here in a moment. But here it is in the book of Psalms, the 91st chapter. Before I get into this, I want to reemphasize this too. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament, I believe, has fulfilled a lot of the uses of the angels God used in the Old Testament. And again, not to say that it takes the place of it, but when God sent His Holy Spirit, it's as if He sent all these deputies of the Lord's power to enable you and to give, minister grace and comfort and all these things that we need in time of trouble, when we are in distress, when we're perplexed about life's problems and difficulties. He doesn't have to send a literal person out there in the flesh, however He may do that, but He can send the Holy Spirit just like that to impress upon your mind what to say or what to think or what to do or what not to do. The Holy Spirit can do that. Isn't that wonderful? But yet in the same token, sometimes God wants to add, if I could say, the cherry on top of the icing on the cake. Sometimes He'll send an angel to minister to you and I. And sometimes we don't even realize what happened until maybe years later, and we reflect on that and we think, that had to be an angel. I didn't realize it at the time, but God was watching over me. And here it is in the book of Psalms. David is recounting some of this, the psalmist David. And truly, God sent some angels to minister to David. Sometimes it wasn't in the way like we heard of Gideon and with Elijah and some of those others. But we know without a shadow of a doubt that as long as David was faithful to the Lord, God was faithful to him all the way through from beginning to end. And it says here in verse 9 of the 91st chapter, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." And let's just stop there for a moment. You realize there is a condition on this? It's saying, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." You make the Lord your habitation. You invite the Lord, His presence, into your heart and into your life, and to fill your mind through and through, and you make that the Lord's habitation, the Lord's going to be with you. He's promising this, and He's saying, "No evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." You know, I've heard people testify, and I believe it's true, and they've witnessed of this, that sometimes it's perhaps a physical illness or some other type of plagues, that this was the very promise God gave them when they wanted to be and say, "Lord, inspire my faith. I need something in this time of distress." And this is what the Lord gave them, that no plague would come nigh thy dwelling. But the condition was, you make the Lord your habitation. Well, it goes on. Verse 11, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." What a wonderful promise. To think that it's as if the Lord is wanting to be like this nurturing mother. How many times have we seen a mother or a father, it doesn't matter who it is, an adult trying to take this little child that's just starting to learn to walk. They can't hardly stand. They're just teetering and they're falling and bumping into everything. But they hold their hands and they're trying to lead them and walk. But guess what's in front of their pathway? A smooth surface. They get all the obstacles out of the way, all the stones, all the things out of the way, and they lead and guide them around all these obstacles. So why? So they won't stumble. So they won't stub their toe, because they're caring for this little helpless child. And you realize sometimes that's you and I. Because we don't know, we can't take, there's a song written about this, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." Sometimes we realize, well, a lot of times we do, that, "Lord, I don't even know the next step to take. Do I do it over here, over here? And Lord, do I sidestep this over here? And Lord, how many steps do I take now? Or Lord, how long do I wait for you here?" And you're at, "Lord, we're depending on Jesus. Just as the song was saying, we're depending on the Lord to guide and direct us. But think about this. It's saying, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And think about this, with their hands. That gets down on a personal level, does it not? That proves how much God cares for us. This is the angel's job that he's sending his messengers, his angels say, I got a job for you. Your responsibility, your employment today is, and every day, to watch over my child down there. To keep them safe and in the way, and to alert them of harm and danger, and to protect them. And when they need a little gentle a comfort or nudging or whatever it is, that you give that to them. And we could say, yes, that can be the Holy Spirit as well. And I'm not disqualifying that. But there comes a portion of our lives sometimes in the physical realm, and that's what we're going to get to here in a little bit, where God sends his angels to protect us from harm. Physical harm, spiritual harm, whatever the case is. But let's read on here. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You know what that's meaning? That's giving us power and dominion over all the ways of the enemy. Over all the things. And Jesus spoke of this with his apostles and disciples, that you'll be able to take up the serpents. In other words, that you can combat the devil, hand-to-hand combat, so to speak. And if you have the Spirit of the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit upon you, and if you're faithful on your end to the Lord's going to be faithful to you, and he's not going to allow himself to be defeated. If you're claiming the name of the Lord, and you're living to all that you know and understand, according to the Word of God, the Lord's going to back you up. The Lord's going to see to it that you will not be defeated. Oh, it may look like defeat. Perhaps you have to take the humble route sometimes. And the enemy's going, aha, see, or others observing the situation, they just kind of backed off. They took the humble route or they lost. No, you won the victory. Perhaps there was some seeds of pride that had to be nipped out of there. And the Lord's saying, no, you take the humble route now. And you take the humble route and Satan is defeated. That is power and dominion over Satan and over self. And that's what it's saying here. The Lord will give that to us. But then notice these last three verses. It's as if the Lord is now speaking to the angels. And he's saying, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. It's as if he's telling his messengers, his deputies here, his angels, saying, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I sanctify him, and shew him by salvation. And shew him my salvation. You know, the Lord is faithful to do that. The Lord is looking. What's the scripture say? The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro for throughout the whole earth to shew himself faithful unto those that will trust in him, to those that will depend upon him, to those that will be faithful to the Lord all the way to the end. The eyes of the Lord, he's seeking, all right? And he's sending his messengers down, his angels saying, you go with them and you help them. And when they get in trouble, when they get in a bind, when they get where they're feeling crushed by the enemy, when they feel like their back is against the wall, or they're in a state of confusion, they don't know what to do, you be there. That's your job, angels. You watch over my people. You know the Lord is faithful to do that. Now I want to give some personal testimonies. I could, of course, give all kinds of anecdotal evidence, if we could say that, from other folks that have testified of angels that have ministered to them and helped them. But I'll just give a few of my own because I found it to be true in my life. And not that I'm saying I've seen the physical bodies of angels that have I've heard stories where they felt like they sat on the bed next to them. They felt a bodily presence there or whatever the case is. And that may be true. I'm not going to disqualify that. But I remember one time as a child, I was, my brothers may remember the exact age, I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and we were transferring the cattle from one field to another, and I was down at the bottom of the field, and we had a steer, a big old steer, that he was very tame, but once he got out into the open there, he felt a little rambunctious and started kicking around and running, and they couldn't control him, and he was kind of going crazy. And I was standing just kind of by the sidelines there, and I happened to be in his way. And I don't think he ever saw me. He never meant anyone harm. And he came right towards me and knocked me over. Now, here's the rest of the story. My mother, she saw the commotion down there. She saw me get hit by the steer. And she saw me just laying on the ground after the steer hit me. And she thought that I was dead. And in fact, I should have been dead, because as those that were my brothers that were standing there, they saw exactly what happened. That when the steer knocked me over, my face hit his chest, and I just was knocked flat on the ground, and his feet went on either side of my head. And when I finally got up, my face was bloody, and my mother thought my face had been smashed by his hooves. That's what she thought. And I just was covered in blood. But all I can say is, I believe to this day, God sent an angel there and kept his legs from smashing my face. Who else was doing that? I believe the Lord did. I believe God sent an angel and spared my life as a little child. And that was just one example. There's 4, 5, 6, I don't know how many other examples as a little child that I should have been dead. But God's angels were kept busy keeping me alive. Another one in particular, I was a teenager, and I've shared this testimony before, but I'll share it again. I was about 16 at the time and was going on a canoe trip with the young people. And I wasn't an excellent swimmer and still not an excellent swimmer. But I was swimming, and we weren't really in swimming clothes. We were just canoeing, and we hadn't really planned on swimming. But it ended up some of the guys wanted to get out and swim. So we parked the canoes, and I got out in the river. And happened to be I got out too far. And got caught in some undertows. And it kept pulling me down and pulling me further away and away from everyone else. And I was helpless. I couldn't touch bottom. I couldn't swim. I couldn't do anything. It was just pulling me under. And I went under 3 times. And I thought I was a goner. In fact, the third time I went down, I thought, this is it. My whole life flashed before me. And at that moment, I prayed. I was in earnest, saying, Lord. And the Lord was using this. See, this is the Lord knows how to find where we're at. The Lord knew I had some things in my life that I needed to straighten up. The Lord knew that I was starting to go down a path that was not pleasing to Him. And the Lord had mercy on me and sent that near-death experience. Obviously, I didn't drown. But the third time I went down, I said, oh, Lord, if you will save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord knew, and I knew what those things were. Right then and there, I didn't have to make a list. I knew those things in my mind, in my heart. The Lord kept them there. And sure enough, that third time I went down, I thought it was it. But I felt something way, I was way under, I don't know how many feet under the water I was, but I felt something on my foot down there. And I don't, to this day, I don't know what if it was a root or a rock or something. And I was able to push and popped myself up out of the water, and lo and behold, I was over by the bank and grabbed onto some roots and pulled myself up. And all I can say is some angel guided my foot to find that solid place to push myself up and had the strength and stamina to do that because I was wore out. In fact, one of my cousins had jumped in trying to help me because he realized I was in desperate need and I was not a good swimmer. But all I can say is God sent an angel that spared my life. And I'm forever grateful for that. Because after that moment, I sat there on the bank, mulling this over in my mind, thinking, okay, I made a commitment to the Lord right there. I made a covenant with the Lord. I made a promise to the Lord right there. And the angel, here's the thing. God sent the angel to spare my life. But guess what? That angel was also lingering and listening and to see what I was going to do with that promise. It was as if the angel of the Lord was standing there to say, as a witness, well, are you going to be faithful to this promise? And I'm here to say, thank the Lord, I've been faithful to that promise. Oh, it's not been easy. We can all testify. It's not been easy. But I'm here saying, no, I've not turned back. The Lord allowed me to go through that for a reason. And I'm here to tell you this evening that it wasn't just for me. I've shared that testimony with others, with other teenagers and young people, to give them courage that you can live for the Lord, that you can make changes, that the Lord will be faithful to you if you will listen to His voice and listen to the angels, if He could say, whispering to you, and be faithful to those promises and those covenants you've made with the Lord. Well, there was another one that happened just not too long ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And again, all I can say, of course, it was the Lord. But I believe an angel kept me alert in this situation, or I would have been killed. It was a few years ago. I was driving in my minivan home from work. It was about this time of year. Deer are out moving a lot, and I, of course, try to be alert to it. And it was dark, driving home, and I was going at least 60 miles an hour down the highway. I was headed home, anxious to get home. And there was no traffic around at all, and I thought, well, I need to look at something just over here. And just for a split second, I looked down, and when I looked back up, it was not a deer. It was a horse, a full-grown monster horse. And all I saw was the rear end of this horse right in front of me, literally right in front of the driver's side of my van. And I was going 60 miles an hour, and it was just a few feet. I don't know how many feet in front of me. All I can say is an angel nudged me to look up at the last moment, and I was able to whip the van over and keep control of the van, mind you, because I jerked it really hard. Probably should have flipped or rolled the van, but somehow able to keep control of it and missed ultimate death. I mean, there's no way. You've heard of stories of this. I've read actual examples of people being killed just by deer. But this was a horse 4 times the size of a deer. And I would have been killed just like that, 2 miles from the house. But the angel of the Lord spared my life. And I give the Lord the glory and the praise for that. Again, these are just literal, physical examples of, I believe, that I'm, of course, very thankful of the Lord's angels. But you know, there's also been some on the spiritual side. I'll give this story again. I've shared this with the young people. I was about 18 years old, and at that time of my life, was going through many changes and adjustments. My grandmother Cole had just died. It was that summer. And my mother had just gotten married, remarried. And she had moved out, so I was on my own. And I was also just fixing to start college. And I just started a new job prior to that. And so a lot of things going on in my mind. And needless to say, was feeling pretty alone, helpless, just kind of lost. You teenagers understand what I'm saying. And most of you adults, of course you do too. You've been through those stages. But I believe that the Lord sent an angel. And it was a dear friend of mine. And it was a phone call that this friend made at the perfect time. I can tell you exactly where I sat. And it was, I don't know the exact time of that. It was in the afternoon. We had some company over at our house. And I was feeling pretty down, pretty out. Didn't know what to do. In fact, we had just buried my grandmother Cole, was the case. And it was rather difficult. But the Lord, I believe, sent an angel through my friend. Through this phone call, and he had no idea exactly what was going on in my mind at that moment. But I believe God sent an angel to my friend, that my friend was being faithful to the Lord, and God sent an angel to him, and God sent an angel to me to pick up that phone call and to listen to what the Lord had to say to me. Because I want to tell you something. My friend didn't really know what he was saying. If you understand my point here. And to this day, he doesn't remember what he said. But I remember the essence of what he said. And it was of comfort from God alone. My friend had never spoke to me that way before. But on this occasion, he had the perfect words to bring that perfect comfort and consolation that I needed at that moment. Let me tell you something. That's God sending an angel to minister at a time of need, a time of distress. In a sense, I felt kind of like Elijah. I felt kind of like Gideon. I felt kind of like Abraham. I felt kind of like a bunch of those folks all at once. And the Lord knew that. And God sent an angel to minister to me. Let me tell you what. No one can do that but God. And I want to tell you something. This evening and for the days and weeks ahead, if you're faithful to the Lord and you follow these conditions, the Lord will send an angel your way. I'm not going to tell you what form it's going to come in. I don't know. It may just be, let me tell you this. I've also had the Lord visit me in a dream. We've heard folks testify of this before. And I'm not a big dreamer type of guy, but I knew that it was the Lord. And later, sure enough, it came to be true. But here's the thing. God was preparing me for something in the future that I didn't know what laid ahead of me. I didn't know what was going to happen. But the Lord was preparing me ahead of time. Sent an angel through a dream to speak to me, to prepare me. And when that time, that occasion came to fruition, I was able to bear it. I was able to accept and say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Or yes, Lord, I accept this. Whatever it is, you know, that's the Lord. Sending again, being willing to be faithful to you and I. The condition that we are faithful to the Lord. Well, I want to remind us again, this is a wonderful way to live. You look at others out in the world. You look at their sad condition. And you know what they turn to? They don't turn to the Lord. They don't cry out to the Lord in prayer. And they don't cry out asking, Lord, would you send an angel? Lord, would you send me some help, some assistance? Lord, send me an army. Or I don't care. Lord, just send me your little pinky to do whatever, to help me. It's whatever, Lord, I need your help. But you realize the world, they seek after all those other things. They try to drown themselves in the cares of life. Some of them are workaholics. Some of them are alcoholics. It's entertainments. Some try to sleep it off, sleep it away. They take the sleeping pills and some try, whatever the case is, trying to deal with life when all they have to do is say, Lord, I need a message from you. Lord, I need an angel from you. And here again, remind us of the condition. Let me read this verse again. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. This is their job. This is their duty. You know what that means? We have a job. We have a duty. We owe it to the Lord as well. To be faithful to the Lord. To be faithful to his commandments. To be faithful to the Holy Spirit's dealing with us. The convictions that he puts upon us. Let's be faithful to those things, and the Lord will be faithful to us. You pray for me that I would be faithful.